Okay, Parshas Pinchas, the first week of the Bein HaMitzadim. This is the first week of a 10-week series, a mini-series, a 10-week mini-series called, this is the Gimel Dip Har Anusa, 3 weeks of punishment. And then comes 7 weeks of Nechama, Zayin D'Nechemta. We read this week from Sefer Yirmiyah. Okay, the further Haftorah of this week is from Sefer Yirmiyah. Nitzofoin tiposach hora'ah. It's Hashem, it's the recruitment of Yirmiyahu to serve. To serve in Hashem's, to be a prophet and unfortunately to give very, very harsh Musa to Klal Yisrael. Yirmiyah was the prophet of the Churban. There were two prophets at the time of the Churban, Yirmiyah and Yechezkel. Yirmiyah was living in Yerushalayim, and Yechezkel was living in Bavel with the Goyim. These are the two prophets, and we read from Yirmiyah this week, and then next two Shabbosos, well, the next nine. The next nine Shabbosos, we read from Yeshayah. Okay, Yeshayah also gave Musar. We learn about the Musar of Yeshayah the next 2 weeks, and then we have Zayin D'Nechemta. So we now are really, we're really entering into very, very deep territory, very difficult territory in the calendar of the Bein HaMitzrim, leading us all the way until the Yimei Hadin. These 10 weeks lead us right to Rosh Hashanah, and right after, it takes us right to Mamish, Rosh Hashanah. These are the first of the 10 weeks, it's like almost a countdown. The countdown to the Yimei Hadin begins this Shabbos with Parshas Pinchas. The Bein HaMitzadim. Maybe if we have time, we'll talk about the Haftarah a little bit at the end, but right now, let's just, it's always good to learn about the beginning of the Parsha. Something satisfying about learning about always the first pasuk of the Parsha, Pinchas, and what is the question that is the obvious question which everyone discusses, everyone is disturbed, is why is the story of Pinchas broken up between the last week and this week? At the end of Parshas Balak, we have the whole story. The Jews began to stray after the women, the daughters of Moab, and they went to their parties, they became attached to Avodah Zarah, and intermarriage, but things got really out of hand. And there was a person, he took a non-Jewish girl. And they all crying Pesach al Moed. Why were they crying? Different interpretations to why they also Rashi says over here they were crying because they didn't know what to do. Things got out of hand. Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen vayakam techoeda vayikach roimach biyado. He was a vigilante. He picks up a spear and he murders in cold blood the guilty, the person, this week's parasha tells us who was the person. Hinei Ish, who was the Ish? The Ish was Zimri ben Salu. And who was the Isha? Kozbi Vasur. He eliminates them. He, in cold blood, he murders them in front of the whole Klal Yisrael. A kanoi, a vigilante. He took the law into his own hands. And we know that what he did was correct. We have all of the halachic discussion. That's not our topic. Pinchas saved the day. Pinchas, he knew what to do. He knew what to do. This could have been a disaster. A terrible Churban for Klal Yisrael. It was unfolding. The challenge to Moshe here was very great, and the danger was very, very, was a red alert. Klal Yisrael could have suffered enormous, irreparable damage. And came along one person. He knew what to do.
He didn't ask.
No, he did not ask. No, that's not our discussion. We don't have to go into all the details. But he knew what to do. There was a problem that needed to be solved. And he knew what to do. It's like we don't have to go into the halachic discussion exactly. That's a different topic. But we have here a problem that is a threat to Klal Yisrael. an existential threat to Klal Yisrael. No one knew what to do. A person stood up. He had a solution. He implemented his solution. He executed the plan with his own bare hands, and he solved the problem.
In Moshe Ish, he became the Ish.
Fine, but he knew what to do. So you would expect, then we know that he gets rewarded. Hashem gives Pinchas a big Yashar Koyach. We throw for him a ticker tape parade. We give him maftir. We sponsor a kiddush in his honor. This week's parasha, we're giving him a grosa Yashar Koyach. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Leimar, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKoyein, Heshivis Chamosi. Me'al b'nei Yisrael b'kaneis kinasi b'sechem v'lechilis yes v'shul b'kinasi l'chein emor hirni nois l'yes b'ris yisholoim. Give him a grois bracha. Give him maftir. Make a kiddush. Have a parade. Put up ads in the newspaper. And not just for him. V'hoyesoloi u'lezaloi achar of b'ris. Kuhunas olam. He's going to be a koyin for in all of his children. Tachas. Because he knew what to do. He had the courage to stand up, speak out, take action. Sounds like a real political talk, right? Tachas asher kinei lelokov yichaper al b'nei Yisrael. Unbelievable. Question. Doesn't this section belong last week? We're done with this. This is last week's topic. Last week, Parshas Balak, we learn about this, what happened. We learn about the crime. We learn about the person who had the courage to find the solution and to carry it out. So it would be natural that the reward and the thank you that Hashem publicly bestows upon Pinchas should appear after the story is over last week in Parshas Balak. What Parshas Pinchas is not long enough. We have to go and add the whole part to Parshas. Where do you have in the Torah? You have a few places, not often. Why is it broken up? It's very bizarre to take half the story, or the story, and present it at the end of Parshas Balak, and then, okay, Rabbi Isai, go on vacation. I'll see you next week. Next week, we'll continue where we left off, and next week, remember what happened last week with Pinchas? We want to now give Pinchas a Yashar Koyach. Thank you very much. We want to give you a gift. We want to express our gratitude. Take the whole thing and put it together. Why is it split? So the answer is, when a person does something, this is a Musa Haskel, when there's an issue, there's a problem, no matter what the problem is, and a person comes in and saves the day, does something novel, you don't really know immediately if the solution that he provided was the best solution. We all know that historians are always revisiting the old notions of who in history were considered to be heroes and villains. The presidents of the United States. Was Roosevelt a tzaddik? Or was he not such a tzaddik? So in his time, I was before my time, they said there were three worlds. There's the Yenevelt. What has it go in Yiddish? There's this world. How do you say? There's this world. And Yenevelt and Roosevelt. You never heard that? Well, how do you say in Yiddish this world?
Die Welt.
Die Welt. Yenevelt and Roosevelt. Three worlds. He was considered, what I understand, to be kid to kiss his toes. There was no one like him. And now, listen, it's still a debate. I don't know enough. I'm not a historian, but you always see over and over, every so often, the discussion comes up. Who was he really? Who was he really? What did he know? What did he not know? What could he have done? What did he decide not to do? What's the real story? No. Hindsight is a whole different look. And all the presidents. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Rabbi Stephen Weiss told them not to get involved with what's happening in Europe.
Okay. Did he listen? Did he not listen? Okay. I'm just giving you just one example. You really don't know. You don't know b'shas maisa what really is good. it takes generations to look back and to see if it's good or not. The Torah over here is the way Chazal laid out the parasha is suddenly teaching us this important halacha. Pinchas
wanted, they could have stopped it, but Stephen Wise said, "Don't get involved."
Okay. That's a whole discussion. That's a big topic. But here, over here, there was a tragedy. There was a problem in Klal Yisrael. Pinchas did something unconventional. He behaved in a way that was unconventional, and the dilemma is, did he do the right thing? Time tell. Time is a judge. Time is always the ultimate judge over what your behavior, your policies, were they really of benefit, or did they really cause more harm? Things that we thought in the past were very beneficial, we look back in hindsight, they were not so. They created a whole new set of problems that we solve from today. Things that we thought were horrible in hindsight, we look back and we realize.
So I once said, "Hey, shit, that's how much may open a storm."
So I'll call the Shabbat, but the point over here is, there's a delay. The Musar Haskel is, first, what we read in this week's parasha is the assessment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu here, in the beginning of this week's parasha, is coming to make an assessment. What exactly did Pinchas do? Was it beneficial, or was it damaging the Klal Yisrael? And Hashem makes an assessment. Hashem says it was excellent. Heshiv eschamosi me'al b'nei Yisrael. He withdrew my anger. But Hashem did not say this b'shas ma'isa. I mean, Hashem said it obviously b'shas ma'isa, but Chazal were very clever in taking this part of the discussion and separating it into a different to next week. Let time pass. Let an entire week pass when we can come and make this assessment. We can make the assessment, was this something that is good or bad? You cannot judge a person's actions at the moment of the event. Now, I'll give you just a simple example that's all over the media. Our governor and our mayor, they feel that they're doing a wonderful job dealing with the pandemic. And a year ago, our governor, he wrote a book, he won an Emmy. And first of all, there's a general principle that you can't speak for Goyim. You can't. Maybe the rules of politics are different. I don't. I'm not coming over here to comment, to criticize, or to praise. We're not them. What's good for the country is not necessarily good for us. But just look at it from our perspective. We have a rule in Judaism: Yahalocha zor v'loy picha. Never praise yourself. Let someone else praise you. Yahalocha zor is strange. A person should never ever take upon himself to toot his own horn. That is a cardinal sin in Judaism. V'loy picha, zor, v'loy picha. Number two, this is the principle from this week's parasha. When you're still in the middle of the problem, it's definitely not a time to toot your own horn. We are still in the middle of a pandemic. It ain't over yet. And it certainly wasn't over a year ago when the book was released. It's a little bit bizarre that you're in the middle of a pandemic and a person is coming to toot his own horn of his excellent leadership skills, and the whole world should learn from his leadership skills, when you're in the middle of it. It's not over. Even if everything it says there is correct, you're in the middle. It's not over yet. We're still in lockdown. You still have emergency powers. You're right in the middle. And let someone else write the book. What are you writing? Money, okay. All right, is this the right thing? It's not our business. But the point, the Torah over here is coming to address this type of issue for us. That when we in Klal Yisrael have issues and we have to find solutions and people think out of the box and they provide solutions, it's not a time to have a state dinner and give praise to the people that are providing the solutions when the problem is still going on. The problem is still present. Last week, it's fresh. It's an open wound. Klal Yisrael is in a very grave danger. There is an existential threat to Klal Yisrael. Pinchas ben Elazar comes in and has a novel solution that is unheard of, to take the law into his own hands. Kanoim Pagan Boy, should we give him an award? Not this week. Let's wait. Next Shabbos. Now we can reflect. We have the time to let the dust settle, to think about, was this the correct thing to do? Was it not the correct thing to do? Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes in and he says, this was the correct thing to do. This section could not have been read last week. When you're in the middle of a tragedy, in the middle of a difficulty, it's not the time and place to have a dinner and give out awards for being problem solvers. It's not the way you do things in Judaism. Don't be influenced what they do in New York State. Don't be influenced if the governor wants to write a book, write smack in the middle of the pandemic, telling the world how great I am. Maybe it's good for him, maybe it's good, maybe that's the mentality of the people in this country. I don't know, I have no idea. But it's not our mentality. Our mentality is, last week is the tragedy, there's a problem, we need a solution, we're not yet up to the Academy Awards. This week, we'll have the Academy Awards when it's all over. Finished, done. That problem is long solved, long over. This is the Musa Haskell of separating the story of Pinchas from last week's parasha to this week's parasha. Okay, let's go to another idea.
Just as an aside, the same thing happens according to some of Farsha by Aaron after another Benaviu, that it's in Shemini, and then you get Achri Moshe Neben Aaron. What was
reflection?
The space?
Reflection.
You need time
and space.
To reflect and
correct.
Let it sink in what happened, and now you can go to God. Says now it's time to talk to Him.
Correct. You need reflection. Reflection. Let's go
you
to another idea. This week is a very painful parasha for Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, your time has come. It's time for you to retire. It's time for you to die. You will not enter into Eretz Yisrael. You have to now prepare yourself for your end. And Moshe Rabbeinu, a responsible leader, he says, if that is the case, I cannot leave my flock without a leader. If my time has come, you, Hashem, must appoint a successor. Vayidaber Moshe Hashem lemor, yifkoid Hashem Elokei horuchois l'chol basar ish al ho'eda. You, Hashem, must appoint. Notice, Moshe didn't take it upon himself to do. There was no nepotism. He didn't say, I'll decide who I want to put my own family members in. Moshe said, Hashem, it's your decision. Who should be my successor? Moshe certainly was hoping that his children would take his place, but to Moshe's disappointment, Hashem said that your student, Yehoshua ben Nun, will be your successor. Moshe made yifkoid Hashem elokei ruchos l'chol basar ish al ho'eda, asher yitzei lifnehem, v'asher yavoi lifnehem, v'asher yoyitzim, v'asher yivim, v'lo si yadas Hashem katsoi nasher ein lehem roi. Hashem says to Moshe, kach les Yehoshua ben Nun, ish asher ruach bo. Okay. Okay, so we go through the whole process. Moshe listens. Moshe takes Yehoshua, gives him smicha. We'll discuss some of those things soon. Okay, the aliyah is over. Okay, the end of the aliyah, kasher dibra Hashem, biyad Moshe, close Sefer Torah, the aliyah is over. Next aliyah. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe leimor, tzav es b'nei Yisrael v'yamarta lehem es korboni lachmi l'yishai. Ah, the korbon tamid. And then we have the Musaf of Shabbos, the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, and then the Musaf of all of the Moadim, the Shalosh Golem, Rosh Yom Kippur. What's the connection between Moshe Rabbeinu's request that Hashem appoint a successor to the Parsha of Korbanos? Who asked this question? Rashi asked this question. What's the connection? So Rashi says, in the beginning of Perek Chof Ches, Rashi says, Tzav es b'nei Yisrael, mo omor l'malu. What did it just say in the pasuk, the psukim, immediately preceding these psukim? Yifkoid Hashem. Hashem, please appoint a successor. Omar loy hakodosh baruch hu, ad sha'ata mitzaveni al bonai. Tzavei es bonai olai. Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe, you're asking me to appoint a successor. There should be a person to take care of the sheep. Why don't you tell the sheep to take care of the leader? Of the leader. Okay, I'm using terms which are not correct, but you're asking me someone should take care of Klal Yisrael. What are you coming to me? Why don't you address Klal Yisrael and tell them that they should be loyal to Hashem? A relationship is a two-way street. You're leaving this world and you're only worried that someone should take care of them? Before you come and complain to me that they need a successor, don't you think you should first tell them that they should be loyal to Hashem? Tell them first, you know, I'm leaving and I'm not going to be your leader. Make sure you remain good Torah Jews and continue to serve Hashem. I'm not going to be here to watch you and to give you Musar and to correct you and lead you. Remember, be faithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Isn't this what the Devarim was all about?
Yes, but here is the moment of truth. Yes, that's an expansion upon this. But here Rashi says the moment of truth. Hashem is complaining to Moshe, you're leaving. What is the natural thing a leader should do at this moment in time? You should tell the people, I'm going to die. I'm not going to be around to watch you, to protect you, to care for you, to help you. So let me give you some pointers. Let me give you some guidelines, some tips on how to survive in this dangerous world. No, you don't do that, Moshe. You don't do that. Instead, they let them do whatever they want, and you come to me and you tell me, make sure you appoint a successor that will take care of them. They'll run around in the jungle. And they'll make trouble, and there'll be someone that'll be an intermediary to make sure everything goes okay. Moshe, it's the other way around. If you're dying, you're leaving, first go to them and tell them that you're leaving, you're dying, and they should behave themselves. And then after you give them Musar and warn them, then you come back to me and say, I told them to behave. But just in case, maybe you also should appoint a good successor that will watch over them. That's the protocol, Moshe. You're not following protocol. That's the Musa Haska. And what's the protocol? So Moshe, what's the protocol? The protocol is tell them to bring korbanos. And specifically, the very first korban is the korban tamid. Now, let's expand upon this. And then, in fact, Rashi goes on to say, we have the Mefarshim, we have the word tzav. We have the word, why does the parasha begin with the word tzav? Because the word by Jewish leadership is also the word vitzivisa. Oisoyli eva hamadita oisolifnei elazar hakohen vilifneho eda vitzivisa. We find the same term. This is already in the Mefarshim elaborating upon Rashi. We make a connection even in the language. Tzav Espinei Yisrael is the word that is found by the beginning of the Korbanos of the Talmud, and the word Tzav is used regarding the appointment of leadership. There is a parallel here, and that is we're trying to go a little bit deeper, and we're trying to say here is that what exactly is a leader? It's very, very hard. Today we feel that we don't have leaders. Who are our leaders? Who do we look up to for leadership? What is a leader? What do they do? What do they do the whole day? What is the purpose, the role of a leader? This Rashi is coming to teach us that there is a direct connection, specifically between the Korban Tamid and the principle of Jewish leadership. Let me explain. Regarding the Korban Tamid, it's an incredible concept. Every single day we offer a korban. There is no vacation, no day off. Every single day, without exception, it's exactly the same korban. A keves echad ta'aseh v'boker. No exception. One of the five tragedies of Shavuos b'Tammuz was it was the day when the korban tamid stopped. We lost that continuity, that degree of something being constant, it was severed. That's Jewish leadership. The essence of Jewish leadership is to always be there without any break, delay. It has to be reliable. How frustrated are you when, oh, not available today, not available. I had a Maisa, I had some dental work, okay? Complicated stuff. And guess what? Last night, the filling fell out. Just poof. I mean, it was a very complicated situation, and it just fell out. So I called the doctor this morning. Kidding? July 4th weekend. What are you kidding? I'm not gonna do nothing for you. You gotta wait until next week, until next Wednesday. You're gonna leave me with a hole in my mouth. Yeah. It's July 4th. Happy 4th. 245 years since my Bereishis. Too bad for you. It's not an emergency decision. I'm exaggerating. The guy's a real dog. It's not an emergency. Whatever. I'm just giving you an exaggeration. It's July 4th. Too bad for you. Shut down. It's not the time now. That's not leadership. Leadership is the carbon tamid. Moshe, Hashem is saying to Moshe, before you tell me what to do, go tell them what to do. And what should you tell them to do? Bring the carbon tamid. And this is the equivalent of leadership. You're telling me, appoint a leader. I'm telling you, well, you do the equivalent for them. That means there's a correlation. Whatever lesson you can extract from the carbon tamid is what leadership is. Hashem is telling Moshe, giving him Musar, you're telling me you want a leader? Well, go tell them that they should do the equivalent on their end of the deal. So whatever Hashem is telling you to do on your end of the deal, obviously, is what you're asking me to do for Klal Yisrael. So let me show you what Jewish leadership is. Jewish leadership is the carbon tamid. Number one, tamid means constant. There is no break. You're always available 24/7, no exception whatsoever. Something always bothered me about the carbon tamid. Why do you have to bring it twice a day? Come on. Once a day is enough. Enough. You have to go bring the keves again. Once a day is good enough. When you bring the shulchan, the lechem apadim, once a week, you only bring one set of bread. You don't bring it twice a day. When you bring other karbanos, you bring it once. Since when you have to do something tamid twice? Even the minchas chavitin of the Kohen Gadol, he brings one karbon, but he splits it. Half of the karbon is in the morning, the other half is in the night. The tamid, no. Tamid, a karbon during the morning and a full karbon at night. Why? The lighting of the menorah by the Kohen. He lights it once a day. He lights it at night. In the morning you prepare it, the hatava, in the evening you light it. I know the Rambam says light it twice a day, but that's not the Das Yochid. You do once a day. Why do you have to do it, the karbon tamid, twice a day? Go back to Moshe Rabbeinu's words. Ribbono shel Olam, I want a leader. I want a leader for Klal Yisrael, a successor. And what is the tafkid? The tafkid is Asher Yetzei Lifnehem, the Asher Yavoi Lifnehem. He goes out and he goes in. A leader is someone that finishes the job. You take him out to war and you bring them back. You start something, you finish it. The day begins, the day ends. The Talmud, Esakeves echot aseva boiker, is kineged asher yetzei lifnehem. V'esakeves hasheni ta'aseh bein ho'arboyim is kineged v'asher yavoy lifnehem. A real leader follows through. You don't just, okay, here's some seed money, good luck. No. You call up, what happened? You need more help. Did you get the job done? What's missing? What's wrong? A full leader, he starts something and he finishes something. How many leaders are there? They start things and then it just disappears. It just takes on a life of its own and it ends up going down the drain. a leader, Moshe Rabbeinu, on the very start says, Asher Yetzei Lifnehem V'Asher Yavoy Lifnehem. V'Asher Yetzeim, then Hashem repeats himself. V'Asher Yetzeim, V'Asher, Moshe repeats himself. V'Asher Yetzeim, V'Asher Yivyeim. Thoroughness. Hashem says, you're telling me what to do? You go tell them what to do. You know what it means, Tamid? It's not just enough that you do it every single day. You do it thoroughly in the morning and in the afternoon. The morning is the haschalah and the end is the gemar. That is true leadership. That's the musar. That's velosia adas Hashem katsoy nasher ein lahem roye. What do we do with the carbon? Tishmeru, part of the service of the carbon talmud is shemira. Shemira. The Rashi, many beautiful Rashis about the carbon talmud. Rashi says, what's the word tishmeru? Carboni lachmi. Let me go back to the words of Rashi. Is carboni adam lachmi elu emurim leishai? What goes on the mizbeach? Tishmeru shi koyhanim ulevim veyishum oimdim al gabov. Mikan lamdu v'tiknu ma'amodois. It's not just enough to go, okay, bring the animal on the mizbeach. Have a nice day. When the animal is on the mizbeach, there's a contingent of Klal Yisrael outside davening and fasting. They're being mispalel at this moment when the carbon is being offered, when it's burning on the mizbeach. There's a maimod of Klal Yisrael. How do you know there's something called ma'amodos? From the word tishmiru. That's a leader. Just because you went and you helped someone has a problem, you gave him a solution, you gave him a doctor, you made all the arrangements for him. What, now the rabbi goes on vacation? When the patient is having surgery, the rabbi is sitting and saying Tehillim. Tishmiru. Ma'amodos. When things are in motion, you know, okay, I did my job. I got you what you needed to do, and everything is okay. I got to go on vacation now. I don't have time for this. That's not the way they brought the carbon talmud. That's what Hashem says. The talmud is offered every single day. You start it, you finish it, and when in the middle between the starting point and the end point, you're standing there and davening to Hashem that it should be acceptable to Him. That's a leader. Every single day, without any hefsek, start to finish, and even at the time when he's not needed, he's there on guard, being mispalel that it should be. He's guarding it. Tishmu, as we have the Ma'amodos. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Moshe Rabbeinu, the Musar, that you have violated the protocol of how you should ask for me, a successor, of what we do at this point in time when your term is up. In the process, he has created an equivalence between the carbon talmud and Jewish leadership, and we have gained an infinite value of defining the essence of what is true Jewish leadership. There's a degree of constantness, continuity. There is a starting, there is an end, and there is a shemira in between. Okay, now let's go to another idea about Jewish leadership. Moshe Rabbeinu, Chazal tell us, was very disappointed that his own children were not his successors. That must have been a really hard pill to swallow. Okay, he has children like everyone else. You see the way it works in this world today. Everything is nepotism. Even in government, it's nepotism.
I think the most obvious part in the parsha, when it gives the lineage of all the, tells about the progeny of all the Klal Yisrael, and it says, Bnei Aaron, it doesn't even mention Gershom and Eliezer.
I'd say it. It's.
They're not even mentioned.
Moshe's own grandson did not parnasa. He was a servant. He was a janitor in the church. Pesel Micha. Can you imagine that?
That maybe they weren't even there.
Right.
That's
right.
Why, that
okay. It's leaders. Their children. Leaders. Their children suffer quite a bit. Their father is not home to care for them, it's having children is an incredible responsibility, obviously, you know, the chinuch, the amount of chinuch, it's mind-boggling. Just Icarus being there. Any event, Moshe was disappointed. And Rashi over here, a very fascinating Rashi, which says something, said there are 2 points I want to make of it, one thing at a time, but the first point is, there's a whole chunk of psukim here about the new leader. What is the new leader? Who's the new leader? Yehoshua. Kach Yehoshua ben Nun. Asher ruach boi v'samachta as yod chalav. You give him smicha. Smicha s'chachamim. Very nice. And then it goes on. V'hamar toysa lefnei Elozor ha-kohen. He's going to stand before Elozor ha-kohen. Now this is not Moshe's Elozor. Moshe had Eliezer. Had Eliezer. This is Moshe's nephew. This is Aaron's son. Eliezer. Okay.
Elozor.
This is Moshe's nephew. But it's a blood relative. It's pretty close.
Was
it's
he not, his brother-in-law?
What?
No,
Eliezer's nephew.
He married Yisro's daughter, no?
He married Yisro's daughter? I'm not aware of that.
According to some, yeah.
Okay, fine, okay. So it was a close relative. Yehoshua is not a relative. Where did Shev is Yehoshua from?
Ephraim.
So he's no shaykhis to Moshe Rabbeinu. He was Moshe's loyal student, but he wasn't a relative. No relationship at all. No blood relationship. Different blood types. Okay, couldn't be a donor, an organ donor for Moshe Rabbeinu. They don't match. No connection to Moshe Rabbeinu. Yehoshua and Moshe. Hashem says, Yehoshua is your successor. Moshe was very disappointed, as we can imagine. And Hashem says, let's put that aside for a moment. And then Hashem says, okay, we have a new leader. And you know what the leader does? Now, if you would write a document, if anyone here in this room would write a document, tell me, what does a leader, a melech, do in Klal Yisrael, a leader? He'll give me a document from a book, all of the requirements, what he has to do. Probably somewhere in the back of the book somewhere, you'll tell me that one of the things that the melech does, and if he has a problem, if he has a dilemma, he doesn't know what to do, so he should go to the Sagan Kohen Gadol, and he should tell him, please put on your clothing, put on the Udim Vitum, the Chosh and the Udim Vitum. I want to ask you a question. I have a question. Here's the question. Ask the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the stones will light up, and the letters will light up, and will decipher the answer from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? You have a question. You don't know what the answer, you don't know what to do. You ask the Kohen Gadol. He wears the Urim Bitumim, and the stones light up, and it tells you the answer. Like Eli HaKohen. Eli HaKohen, he saw there was a woman there davening. Her lips were moving. He didn't know what's going on, so he asked the Urim, and it's very bizarre why he used the Urim Bitumim for this, but he did. And it said there, letters lit up, and he thought it said, Shikoira, this woman is intoxicated. And Chana says to him, You know, you have to go back for training. It doesn't say she, it says Kisora or Kishera. Okay? This is one of the million things that a melech has to deal with. He has the Urim V'Tumim. The only thing here in the whole parsha of the importance about a Kohen God, of a new leader, is the Urim V'Tumim. And you know, guess what? It's not, I remember reading this somewhere. I don't even know if Yehoshua even once in his entire career, 40 years, ever even once asked the Urim V'Tumim. Did it even happen even once? I remember reading about this. Maybe once with Ochan. Maybe the whole career of being
Yerusha.
I'm sorry?
No,
that was a Goyrol. That was a Goyrol. That was Moshe. That was Moshe himself. That wasn't Yehoshua. And that was a Goyrol. Ach b'Goyrol yichalek aretz. Okay, maybe you're right, I don't know. But it definitely is not a central part of his role as a melech. There are so many things you can tell a melech. You know, don't have too many horses, don't have too many wives, don't do this, don't do that. There are a million things. The only thing that is presented here in this parsha about your role as a melech is, if you ever have a question and you don't know what to do, go to my nephew, Elozar, and stand before him and ask the question, and the stones are going to light up, and they'll tell you what to do. And everything else you need to know about being a melech, here, there's a book, there's the library, Moshe Rabbeinu's Presidential Library, paid for by taxpayer money. You'll go there, you'll learn about what you need to do to be a good leader in Klal Yisrael. What's going on over here? Why did the Torah emphasize this? What in the world is going on here? This is the only thing that Moshe has. Of course, a melech asks the Urim V'Tumim. Thank you very much. A melech, he gets up in the morning, he puts on a pair of pants. He puts on a jacket. He puts on his hat. This is what you have to go tell me over here? So Rashi answers the question. And what Rashi says is explosive. It's explosive. And it's a Musa Haskell, and you see this. I'm a rabbi's son. So I pay attention to this type of stuff. When Rashi says it's explosive, what does it say here in the pasuk? It says, Lifnei Elozer HaKoin, Harei, Pasuk Chaf Alf, Harei, She'eloscha She'sha'alt Moshe, I know you're in pain. You asked me something. What did you ask me? She'ein HaKovoid Hazeh Zoz Mibes Ovicha. Moshe Rabbeinu, Chazal tell us, Seta Hashem, Hashem, no, I have a son. Yivkod Elokim, Hashem, Elokei Ruchos L'chol Basar. Moshe was a good father. A good father is supposed to look out for his children. And if he doesn't violate any legal laws of nepotism, nepotism is poison. But if it's legal, if it's permitted, a father has a duty to his own children. His own son ended up being a janitor in a church, had no parnasa. That's what ended up with Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson. He was a janitor in Pesel Micha. He didn't have parnasa. Moshe has a duty as a father to look after his children, like anyone here has a duty. And Moshe said to Hashem, listen, you're the boss, you make the decisions. But don't forget, I have a son also. And I served, and maybe I'm entitled. Is my son a good boy? Is he qualified? He studied under me, he served me all these years, he's my right-hand man. You know, I have Yahushua, and I have also a son. Maybe he's qualified. Hashem said, Moshe, I'm sorry, he's not the right fit. But you got a good point. You do have a son, and therefore one thing I'm going to do for you. You asked me to appoint your son, this honor shall not leave your family. Sha'af Yahushua, so the answer is the successor will always, his entire career, be required to pay homage to your family. This is not like, you know, in America, new president. We don't want there to be a zecher of anything of the past. When Trump came in, I'm just talking between me and you, I'm not talking about, everything was, whatever Obama did, I want to completely obliterate any zecher of Obama. And now Biden, the goal is to completely overturn anything that Trump did. This is the minik ha'olam. Kachi darko shaloylam. Kachi darko shaloylam. A new boss as it comes to town, I'm in charge. The past, we have a new sheriff in town. A new regime. Okay, the past, we have to, no zeicher. No, it's not the way it works in Jewish leadership. In Jewish leadership, Moshe, I'm giving you nechama. You, for whatever the reason is, your son cannot be the king. Cannot be Yehoshua. But you should know that Yehoshua will always have to come on to your family. They will always have to pay homage to Moshe Rabbeinu's nephew. Your malchus will always be, if there's a dilemma, if there is a dilemma, what should we do? Should we go to war? Should we not go to war? Should we raise taxes? Should we lower taxes? Should we build a wall? Should we not build a wall? Should we bomb this country? There's a dilemma. I don't know what to do. Call my cabinet. The cabinet, we don't know what to do. Let's ask the Urim V'Tumim. Who is in charge of the Urim V'Tumim? Moshe Rabbeinu's family. The Mishpacha of Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a carryover. There's Derech Eretz for the previous administration. Don't just sever. Don't burn your bridges. Don't just obliterate the previous administration. There's a Chavivus. It's a new regime, a new policy, a new time. Don't burn your old, new administration. You can tell an infinite about it. In the United States, Lahavdil, Elif Alfi Avdolis. You listen to the inauguration. It's very kedai to listen to a president. A new president comes to town. have inauguration, pomp and ceremony, and they make a speech. Okay, they make a speech. Obama gave one of the longest speeches in all presidents. Trump gave a very short speech for 14 minutes, I think. Biden, I don't even pay attention. I don't listen to Biden when he said, okay? But listen to the speech and listen if they have the Derech Eretz to mention their president. Who he's standing right there, right? By the inauguration, not Trump didn't come inauguration, but usually in history, you know, the previous president is there. They're very gracious. They pass the baton. The one who takes the office. Do they mention the previous? You can do whatever you want. You're the president now. You can nuke the whole world. What does it hurt you to be gracious and acknowledge that for the last number of years this world has been guided by someone else, and you're coming to build upon their accomplishments and tweak their failures? What does it hurt you to be such a grubba yingle and just spit upon them? It speaks volumes. And it's not just about the goyim. I don't care about the goyim. That's not relevant. You go to a hachtorah of a new rabbi. You can see this. You go to a hachtorah, they have a shul, and the rabbi retires. And now they have a new young 25-year-old takes his place, and he makes a speech. The rabbi emeritus. You know, what do they do with the old rabbi? How do they retire him? This goes on Meisim B'chol Yom. What does it hurt you? If they're Acheretz, yeah, you're the new shiny gadget in town. You're the new shiny gadget. But Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, this is the model of leadership. There are an infinite number of pointers and rules and regulations that a new successor needs. The only thing that it says here about the new leader is, if you got a problem, you don't know what to do, you go to the Urim V'Tumim. But remember, who's the boss of the Urim V'Tumim? Moshe Rabbeinu, his family, Elazar, the nephew. Rashi says this. Elazar is the mishpocha of Moshe Rabbeinu. Remember, you're the new shiny gadget, the new shiny toy in the world. Have derech eretz for the previous administration. It's not a chesaron to have derech eretz for who came before you, even if you totally disagree with every last word that they had to say. You're in charge. You do whatever you want anyway. This is what it says in Rashi. I'm not making this up. Your successor, who has nothing to do with you. You're the sun. He's the moon. The sun and the moon, when the sun is shining, there is no moon. When the moon is out in the sky, there's no sun. There couldn't be a bigger difference between you and Yahushua. A whole different style of leadership. The two do not coexist. Nevertheless, Yetzarich le'elazar, he needs your family. That's a Musa Haskell. It's a powerful Musa Haskell in leadership, in Jewish leadership. And by extension, there's another lesson over here, and that is, when you make a new leader, the first thing he has to know is, you don't know nothing. You always hear, you know, in secular politics, there's a new leader, people are running for office, a mayor, this, that, you know, it's Maisim B'chol Yom, it's a Chad Gadya. You have a new person comes into the office, they present themselves, I have the solution for all the world's problems, for corona, for crime, for poverty, for the homeless, I got the solution. And that's the way it works. You run on a platform of having solutions. That's the way it's supposed to be. There's a new melech. The first thing you tell the new melech, you know nothing. You don't know nothing. You don't know what to do. He tells him. He points Moshe appoints Yahushua. Now, besides the idea of giving respect, besides the element of respect for the previous administration, he presents him with, okay, here's the Urim V'Tumim. Yeah, where's my crown? And where's my motorcade? And where's my palace? You know, let me tell you, there's something called the Urim V'Tumim. You know what that means? It means you know nothing. You have problems, dilemmas are going to come on your desk every single second. The world is coming to pieces. What do I do? You know nothing. You're going to need to find someone to help you have answers to all the questions. From the very get-go, you should know when you don't know what to do, you go to Elazar, you ask Hashem. You ask from the Urim Vitumim. Forget about asking Hashem. It's more of the humbling experience of saying to the new leader, good luck. There are no answers to the question. The problems are so great, there's no answer. You have to go ask Hashem. You have to come on to the Urim Vitumim. You would think, oh, we have here a young man. He's been trained by the best Harvard. He's trained in Harvard, in Yale, Princeton, Ivy League. He's Shimush, V'chulu, V'chulu. He knows the best. He's going to be the Melech HaMashiach and solve all the problems. Moshe Rabbeinu is stepping down, appointing a successor. And in essence, what is he telling his successor? Good luck. You don't know. You're not going to even know how to answer the Aleph Beis. The only thing I can tell you is you don't know anything. Because that's exactly what the essence of the Urim V'tumim is. I don't know what to do. I'm stuck. I have to have big zuchusim that the Urim V'tumim will even work. Because it seems that the Urim V'tumim most of the time doesn't even work. You have to be on a big badrega that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should be willing to allow the letters to miraculously light up. Just the fact of the presenting the new leader with the Urim V'tumim is a statement in of itself is, don't come into this office with gaiva thinking you know the answers. You don't know the answer. If the answer was so simple, I would have found the solution in my day. I didn't find the solution. The problems are the same. Don't think you're going to find solutions. Humble yourself. You need siyata deshmaya. Halavai Hashem should use you as an instrument, as a tool, in order to make this world a better place. That's the lessons. The lessons over here of the Urim V'tumim. All right, one last vart. Late, one last vart. Quick vart, conclude. We have a few minutes. Last vart. We come this week to the Gorul. The Chalukah HaSaretz. Finally made it to the end. Chalukah HaSaretz. And the Torah tells us something very bizarre. How are you going to divide the land? Today, this will never happen. Today, just a fight. All the Jews would get together in the room. They would fight over the map. They would gesuntai. They would fight forever. Hashem says, "Ach bigorol techolei koaretz." Torah repeats itself twice. Torah repeats itself. You're going to divide the land with a gorol gesuntai. Ach bigorol techolei koaretz. I have to tell you the exact words are very critical. I'm going backwards in the parasha. Here it is. It's in the shlishi. According to the names, and then the pasuk repeats itself. It violates the cardinal rule of public speaking, and certainly of writing. Don't ever repeat yourself. Don't be like me. You repeat yourself 1,000 times. Just say it once and go weiter. Al pi ha-goyrol techolek nachalose ben rav lemot. What's going? You told me. Ach b'goyrol yecholek ha-saretz l'shmois matas b'nei al-moisa. Then, no, al pi ha-goyrol techolek. What's going on over here? What's going on over here? There are two types of goyrol, it seems. There's ach b'goyrol and there is al pi ha-goyrol. Now, there's a lot of Rashis here, which say incredible things. I want to present you drush. It's not. We don't have time to go over the Rashis now. I want to present you drush, not the pashup shot. Drush. There are two main differences between these two psukim. Difference number one is in the first pasuk when it talks about the first girl, ach bigorol, it just says only with a lottery, the New York State Lottery. Right, they spin that thing on television. Hello, my name is... Press the button, in 60 seconds, the balls come out, and here are the numbers, right? Everyone's seen that at some point in time. Saturday night. The lottery. Ach, bigorol. And then it says, al pi ha goyrol, in the next pasuk. Rashi tells us something very bizarre, that the goyrol spoke. It was like Vayiftach Hashem es piho osoin. Hashem opened up the mouth of the. It doesn't say here that the, when was the pi of the girl created. It doesn't say anywhere it was erev Shabbos ben Hashmashes. It just says al pi hagol melamed that the girl spoke dibur. It spoke. Wow, that's a miracle. This is not like the New York Times telling you about stories about fish talking. Orthodox Jews obsessed with fish talking. The girl spoke. This is a lamala mi derech. I'm not making this up. Rashi Levi says pasuk menvav al hagorul hoya midaber kimo shepirashti magich neschalke b'duach hakodesh. But the first pasuk didn't say the word p. The first pasuk said ach big girl. Ach is a miut, pure chance, pure unadulterated chance, just a girl. Haphazard lottery in its purest form. The next pasuk says, no, this is not an accident. This is the Shechina Medaberes. Al pi hagorol. The first, that's one difference. Other difference, we're winding down very quickly. Other difference is, in the first pasuk it says, L'shmois. The gorol will divide the land according to the names. The Shemois B'nei Yisrael. It's a long Rashi, but it's Melech Pshat. The second Pasuk omits the word, any mention of the word names. All it says, Al Piagol, Techalei Ka'ar, Nachalasa, Ben Ravna, the word, the names of the Jewish people are omitted. Now, we all know, this is a very popular idea, that the name of a person captures his identity. It captures his uniqueness. It captures everything about him. Every parent is given Ruach HaKodesh when a child is born to give a child the name. The name in the person's name is the entire person, is his unique identity, his mission, his purpose, his everything that is 100% unique and special about a person is captured in his name. The first pasuk tells there are two types of garolos here. The first pasuk tells us this ach bigorol. This is the musr of what Eretz Yisrael is all about. There are two different types, and they contrast. They're mirror images of one another. When you live in Eretz Yisrael, when you deal with the Shemos B'nei Yisrael, the name when the person, the human being, is unique and special. Then, all of the events that happen around him, they're just by chance. If you're living a life that is meaningful and special, why do you live on this street? Why do you live on that? Why do you live in Brooklyn? Why not live in New Jersey? How come you're not living in Lakewood? You're not living in Passaic, in Muncie, in the Five Towns, Woodmere, North Woodmere, South Woodmere? Why are you living in Sea? Why? Doesn't matter. It's just a ach bigorol. It's just who cares? What's important is my purpose in this world, the person. The shame. When you're important, everything else is ach bigorol. It doesn't make a difference. It's just by chance. Of course, nothing is by chance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is calling the shots. Everything is b'hashgacha pratis. But when there's Shemos B'nei Yisrael, everything else in life is ach bigorol. It's irrelevant. When you take away the Shemos B'nei Yisrael, when I'm a nobody, I'm just a pawn in some bigger scheme. I'm just the government's in charge, I just go through life. Then al pi hagorol, then everything else becomes a big deal. This ruach, the gorol is speaking. The goyrol is telling, is ordering you. You do this, you do this. The goyrol, your lot in life, takes on a very big dimension. The goyrol means this is your chelik in life. This is what you do. This is the type of job. Communism. this is what where you live, this is how much food you eat, this is who you're going to marry, and this is the type of job you're going to have. This is your goyel. Al-pi, it talks. We're going to ascribe to what would ordinarily be, who cares where you live, here you live there, what kind of car you drive, what kind of this you do, that. These are not important things. What's important things is to serve Hashem, to be. No. The goyel is important. Your chelik, your portion of what you do, where you do, how you do it, it attains an enormous value because it's alpi, it talks. There can be nothing more chashuv than talking. And when that happens, it's always in contrast to you having no identity. Your shame, your name, your uniqueness, your essence disappears. The more life, your life, your unique mission, your purpose has value in this world, the less you care about everything else. The less you care about what kind of car you drive, what kind of house you live in, what kind of this, what kind of that. That's Hashem's business. That's Hashem. That's the goral, ach begoral. We have emunah pshuta that everything that happens in this world is bad. It's one of the animamins. There's no such thing as chance. But that's not my problem. That's ach begoral. That's because when you have shemois b'nei Yisrael, which means klal Yisrael, their lives have meaning, everything else doesn't really make a difference. But when it becomes al-pi ha-goral, the goral makes a difference. It makes a very big difference which community I live in, what house I live in, what kind of car I drive, what kind of clothing I wear. My lot in life, what the government has given me, or what they have not given me, or what my mazel in life is, al-pi ha-goral, I worship my chelik in this world. I have tainus and Hashem. Why did you only give me this and not this, not this? When the goyel, your goyel in life becomes alpi, then you know what the sacrifice is? You lose your name. Your name is gone. You're nobody. Your life becomes worthless. You're just a dot on someone's screen. Your life, your unique mission and purpose is out the window. There's a musar in these two psukim. First it says, ach bigorol yecholei ka'aretz. When is it? It's ach bigorol, who cares? Just don't make a big deal about this. Who cares? You know how you can live a life like that where you don't care so much about all what goes on around you? It's when lishmois matois b'neis, matois avos mincholo, is where your life has value. But when you take out the shemois, avois, then you know what happens? Al pi ha-goral. What did the girl say? What did it say? What did the government tell me? What's my stimulus check? What did they give me? What did they not give me? What's going on over here? Oh, when everything your chelik in life makes a big difference. Your entitlements, your rights as a citizen, and discrimination, racism, v'chulu v'chulu, and all these mishagasim. You know what happens when you're so concerned about your chelik in this world? We want trillions of dollars of reparations. Trillions of dollars. Then you know what happens? You're just shooting yourself in the foot. It's what happened to you. There's no more shemo, it's mata, it's avoisa, gone. The musar is focus on what's important. Everything else will fall into place to a degree, of course. And obviously, to a degree, a person has to take care of himself and stand up for himself. Don't be a shmata, of course, but to a degree, everything has to be balanced. Focus on shemois matois avosam. Know your purpose, your place. That's what's important. And when that is fulfilled, don't worry, everything else falls into place. I hope I'm explaining myself. I hope I'm trying to bring out the point. Okay, Rabbi Sai, thank you very much for coming and listening. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Enjoy. Shabbat Shalom. Mevarach. Zayg. Good Shabbos.